Blog Talk Radio.
All right. There we go. Good evening, Blog Talk Radio. Good to have you with us. Let's go live on YouTube. Oh my goodness, six alive. Isn't that something? All right, well, guess they're going to make us go through it again. Okay, hold on just a second here. Isn't that fun? Let the favor of the Lord fall on me. Blog Talk Radio, we're good to have you with us all from all over the world. Think about it, guys. All over the world, there are people that are joining together with us saying, come on, tell us about Jesus. And that's what we do. We're going to come on here and tell you about Jesus. We're going to show you who he is in the majestic word of God. All right. Now we have permission to be on YouTube. Welcome, YouTube. Good to have you with us tonight. We are in another Read the Word. A couple more clicks here. We'll have everything in the proper order. Okay, here we go. So, we welcome everybody. Thank you for being here with us tonight. I want us to start with our opening prayer that we use on a regular basis. And the prayer that God gave me back, I don't know, quite a while ago. And then we've just kind of improved it and perfected it as we've gone through the program. All right. Just a little rusty with clicking the right buttons, that's all. Layouts. There it is. We'll share the screen. That way everybody can pray it with us. Looks good. I declare to you, Zoom, you update one more time. And there it is. Here we go. Everybody pray this prayer with us. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. We, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry, that believers' lives will be changed forever by the word of God, and glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. And now I want to grab our next one. As we minister to the saints around the world, according to God's holy living word, God sees our determination to change our world. Hebrews 6:10. God will never be unjust and forget our work and labor of love which we have shown toward his name, in that we have ministered to the saints here and around the world. My life is a seed. I am sowing now to bless others. Now you say it again. You're going to say that line again. And you get serious with it wherever you are. My life is a seed I am sowing now to bless others. Your very presence here is you sowing your time and your life of faith into this ministry and into people's lives. Luke 6:38, I give, and I know that what I give will be given to me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, it will be put into my life. For with the same measure that I use to sow, it will be measured back to me in that same measure. Jesus is always doing his work. We fulfill the Great Commission right here, right now, today. And Jesus speaks to us saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. I am telling you, I am with you all the way to the end of the age. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for us brethren to dwell together in unity. Thank you, Father, for the unity the community of faith enjoys every time we come here. Is the precious anointing oil running down on the edge of Aaron's garments, like the dew of Hermon, saturating everything, descending on the mountains of Zion. For there, in dwelling together in unity, the Lord commands the blessing on our life, life forevermore. There is one body and one spirit, just as we were called in one hope of our calling. One Lord, there's only one. One faith, there's only one. One baptism, there's only one. One God, one Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given then according to the measure of Christ's gift. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your gift in my life. Jesus himself is the one who gave some to be apostles. I function in that gift. Some prophets. I function there. All of us here are evangelists. I'm definitely a pastor and a teacher. God bless the fivefold ministry with boldness. For the equipping of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, thank you, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that I may be filled with all the fullness of God. You say it with me, that last line, I may be filled with all the fullness of God, so that we will no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Father, expose their wicked, deceitful plotting of those standing behind the pulpit. But speaking the truth in love, we all grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I bring my gift and my supply to this body of believers today. Use me to be a blessing to all of these in Jesus' mighty name. We join the voices of every great prayer warrior, every patriot warrior, every passionate patriot of this great nation who is doing something to defend it right now tonight. God bless America. We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal in every nation. They are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Father, help us, the living, to be dedicated. Help us in the community of faith to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. We declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Say it with me. It will not perish. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might. Great God, our King, give us of our sin, Lord. Heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen, and amen, and amen. Now, tonight, we're going to be studying the book of Ezekiel. We are going to be catching ourselves up on Read the Word, so we can get this thing to where it's supposed to be, reading certain chapters in the Bible every day. You might say, Pastor, we're not there yet. Well, we're not, but we're getting closer. Now, for all of you in the family thread, I want to encourage you to go look right now in the family thread. And you can see Brother Dan posted in there the slides of the timeline of where we are in the history of the children of Israel in the book of Ezekiel. Now, I think it's the first one. No, it's the second one. I put these in there inside out. On the second one, you can notice, if you scrunch it up a little bit, that we have up in the corner, you'll see Habakkuk, Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim. The first exiles are taken to Babylon in 605. Jehoiakim is there. Zedekiah is there. Judah and the southern kingdom falls to Babylon. The temple and Jerusalem are destroyed. And then Gedaliah becomes the governor of Judah. Now, you go up to the top, and you got Zechariah, Haggai. These are the prophets. And then Cyrus' edict allows the people to return to Jerusalem, rebuild the land. That'll be Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. And you'll see all of that right in there. Go to the next slide over, the third one. You'll see the prophets. Nahum, Jeremiah, Zephaniah, Habakkuk, Ezekiel, Daniel, and Obadiah are all contemporaries during that period of time as Babylon had taken over the children of Israel, the nation of Israel. Because God said, as we just read in Jeremiah, you have done bad, and you've done really bad, and I'm going to put you into captivity. One of the things that the church needs to hear today is when a Christian does bad, God calls it sin, and then you're judged. There's a lot of people that says, well, no, God would never do that. Well, if you've just read all through the Old Testament like we have, you would realize, yes, God does do that. He certainly does. Hey, Angel, good to have you with us. It is good to have you with us. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are going to be reading the book of Ezekiel tonight. So when you get to the book of Ezekiel, I wanted you to see this timeline so that you could put it all in your mind. You've got Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, Manasseh, Ammon, Josiah, if you're looking at the third screen in there, those are the kings of Judah. And Josiah was a good one. Remember, he served well, and when he found the Bible, the word, he's like, woo! But then the following ones, they determined to go absolutely astray and away from God, and there's no way around it. Whether you're born again or not, if you pick up the ways of the world, then says, well, if that's the kingdom you want to be a part of, I'll let you be a part of it. You'll lose your anointing. You'll lose your glory. You'll lose your peace. And you can have all of that wicked kingdom that you want. And God will protect your right to have that garbage, even though it's probably not what you want. He'll protect your right to have it because that seems to be the decision that you made. Huh. Isn't that something? And that's not a decision that you want to make. You want to make sure you are always walking in the paths of righteousness with our God. But there's a lot of people that never get to come to the understanding that it's not your goody-goody two-shoes of how good you can be in God, because you'll never be good enough. Hey, Brother Dan, could you give me a heads up of whether or not the Blog Talk Radio is still working? It's not about how good you can be. You will never be good enough. Let me encourage you. You will never be good enough to be righteous enough for Jesus. You won't. It's impossible. That's why God sent Jesus, and Jesus gave you his righteousness. Now you have to receive it as a gift. It's not of works, so man don't boast. Now you receive it. When you do, you get to walk with God and be what it is he made you to be on this earth. If you're walking in the paths of our enemy, Father just has to say, well, I know that's not what you want, but since that's where you choose to continually go, I'll let you have it, even though he doesn't want to. Anyways, back to this. Hallelujah to you, Sunday. It's good to have you with us tonight. Ezekiel's name means God strengthens. God strengthens. I like that. This is the purpose. To relate a sovereign, holy God's condemnation of sinful ways and his continuing efforts to restore his people to the righteousness he's offered to you. That's what this book is about. Now, he's going to talk to them about their hearts. In the book of Ezekiel, we learn he said, I'm going to give you a new heart, give you a new spirit, take out that heart of stone. Sought for a man that would stand in a gap and make up the hedge and didn't find one. And then Ezekiel 37, 38, and 39 are the chapters that tell us about Russia coming out of the north and destroying and God wiping out those that are trying to destroy. And that's the day of the rapture when you and I will head to heaven. And then the Bible says we will forever be with the Lord. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, blood talk is good.
It's doing fine. It's still there. Thank you. Well, here's why I say that, Dan. Because somewhere I have deleted the studio. Obviously, it's still there because you went and checked it out. So glory be to God. Thank God technology works even when we don't know what we're clicking on. Now, think about this. God not only is telling the children of Israel, I'm going to take care of you. You've been wicked. You've been horrible. These nations that come against you, I raised them up because I needed to. But they're going to fall too because they're going to get arrogant and, whoops, wrong button. They're going to get arrogant and be prideful, and they're going to fall, and I'm going to carry you back. After 70 years of captivity, we know that they went back under Ezra and Nehemiah and rebuilt the temple, rebuilt the city. And then there was 400 years of silence where God did not talk to his people. Not one time, not one time. And you don't want that. Some people don't realize what hell is. Hell is not just fire. Hell is, there will be no presence of God in your life. There'll be nothing to do with God in your life. And that will be for eternity. You will be forever separated from the loving care of God. And I encourage you. I got somebody listening tonight, or many somebodies, that I'm reaching right now with this. I can tell I am. And I'm going to be a faithful apostle. I sent here to minister to you. Get your understanding right about the filth and the garbage of this world. You cannot have it as a Christian. You just can't. You have the very nature and seed of Christ on the inside of you. And when you go and lay with the world and play with the world and do their wickedness, the Father has to say, if that's what you want, I guess I'm going to have to give it to you. You don't want it. You don't want it. You don't want it. Turn. Turn. There comes a point when we refuse to turn that he says, all right, have it. And then the Holy Spirit draws back and you're left there. And I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but Don't do that. Don't do that. I can help you understand righteousness. And that's what you need to understand. Not somebody's finger pointing at you saying, you sin, you sin. We've all sinned. Some people committed horrendous sins. God don't care about that sin, except for the fact you got to get out of it by receiving Jesus' righteousness. And now it's his righteousness that does the work. I remember I struggled with this for 40 years of my life. And then when the revelation hit me, it wasn't no great piece of intellectual information. It was a piece of revelation for me determinedly seeking, saying, there's something here I don't see. I see it. I choose to see it. And then I got it. And we come to the understanding. Now, one more thing about Ezekiel. Man, this is a long introduction. And we'll be on down the road here. Ezekiel chapter 36, 24 through 27. Ezekiel 36, verses 24 through 27. Somebody write those verses. Thank you, Angel, for helping us tonight. Please come back and be with us, Angel. We miss you. We have not given you permission. I need a slip from somebody saying why you've been excused. Just teasing with you. Look at this. Ezekiel 36, 24. I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries. Land, that's happening right now, 31 August 2022, all around the world. Verse 25, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all of your filthiness and from all of your idols. Just say it. Thank you, Jesus. I've been washed clean. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I'll take out of you the heart of stone, out of your flesh, give you a heart of flesh. Verse 27. I will put my spirit within you. Somebody say it with me. He lives in me. He lives in me. And you cause you to walk in my statutes. You will keep my judgments and do them. That's the theme verses for the book of Ezekiel, if you ask me. Now, everybody's got their own theme verses they like, but those are the verses that I like. I'm going to take out that heart of stone. God is going to give you a new heart. You have to receive it by faith through grace. By grace, through faith, not what you can work and earn and do in yourself, because men will boast about that. And God said, it's a gift. It's a gift from God, because man will boast about that gift. And we thank God that he lives in us. Well, having said all of that, Ezekiel chapter 1. Somebody shout, I love the word. Somewhere. I have voices. You hearing voices, Pastor? There we go. Ezekiel chapter 1. Came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month. I love God's accuracy. As I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. Ready? Lift your hands and just say it. Father, open the heavens and help me see visions of you. Verse 2, on the fifth day of the month, which was in the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans, by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was upon him there. I looked, and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north, a great cloud with raging fire engulfing itself. Brightness was all around it, radiating out of its midst, like the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. Also from within it came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Each one had four faces. Each one had four wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of calves' feet. They sparkled like the color of burnished bronze. The hands of a man were under their wings on their four sides, and each of the four had faces and wings. Their wings touched one another. The creatures did not turn when they went, but each one went straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, each had the face of a man. Each of the four had the face of a lion on the right side. Each of the four had the face of an ox on the left side. And each of the four had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces. Their wings stretched upward. Two wings of each one touched one another. Two covered their bodies, and each one went straight forward. They went wherever the Spirit wanted them to go, and they did not return when they went, did not turn when they went out. As for the likenesses of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, like the appearance of torches going back and forth among the living creatures. The fire was bright, and out of the fire went lightning. Let me just pause for a minute. Say this with me. I will receive visions from you, Lord. God will give us visions if you want them. He rewards those who diligently seek him. And the living creatures ran back and forth in appearance like a flash of lightning. After the living creatures ran back and forth in appearance like lightning. Now as I looked, the living creatures, behold, a wheel was on the earth beside each living creature with its four faces. The appearance of the wheel and their workings were like the color of beryl. All four had the same likeness. The appearance of their workings was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. This is where people say Martians and aliens are coming from with their spaceships. Well, we'll see. When they moved, they went toward any of the four directions. They did not turn aside when they went. As for their rims, they were so high, they were awesome, and their rims were full of eyes all around the four of them. When the living creatures went, the wheels went beside them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Wherever the Spirit wanted to go, they went, because there the Spirit went, and the wheels were lifted together with them, for the Spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. When those went, these went. When those stood, these stood. When those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up together with them, for the Spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. The likeness of the firmament above the heads of the living creatures was like the color of an awesome crystal, stretched out over their heads. Under the firmament, their wings spread out, straight, one toward another. Each one had two which covered one side, and each one had two which covered the other side of the body. When they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of many waters, like the voice of the Almighty, a tumult, like the noise of an army. When they stood still, they let down their wings. A voice came from above the firmament that was over their heads. Whenever they stood, they let down their wings. What a picture. Above the firmament over their heads was the likeness of a throne in appearance, like a sapphire stone. On the likeness of the throne was a likeness with the appearance of a man high above it. Also, from appearance of his waist and upward, I saw, as it were, the color of amber with the appearance of fire all around within it. I like that. All around within it. And from the appearance of his waist and downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire with brightness all around, like the appearance of a rainbow in a cloud on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the brightness all around it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. So having said everything above, Ezekiel said, this was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. You know what that means? Amazing is his glory. Ezekiel sent to rebellious Israel. So when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard a voice of one speaking. Here's God now. You might want to stop and get a big drink of coffee. I heard a really powerful story. Somebody remind me to tell you about the man that got delivered from homosexuality, what happened next. Somebody remind me to tell this story later. I'll tell it later, not right now. It's a good story. And he said to me, son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak to you. You notice he fell on his face. You know the only thing that gives you and I the ability to stand on our feet in the presence of God is the blood of Jesus. Do not commit acts of treason against his blood. Do not do it. He is delivering you. It's by that blood that you have access to his throne. That's why we say it every night in communion. And that access gives you the throne of grace, where you find mercy, grace, and help for your time of need. And you're not supposed to, you'll bow down when you first see him. But when he stands up, you have to realize he's the one that makes you worthy to stand. He's the one that gives you the ability to pray and pray boldly and courageously and confidently. He's the one that causes you to crush the enemy under your feet. And if you tread on the blood of Jesus, you can't be bold in the face of the enemy. Keep reading. Gone to preaching, and it's time to be reading. That's the difference between Sister Leanne and I. She doesn't stop and preach. She just reads. I just stop and preach. Can you imagine how long it's going to take us to be through the book of Ezekiel? Here we go. Verse 2, the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me, and he set me on my feet, and I heard him who spoke to me. He said to me, son of man, I am sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. Wow. He's sending us, guys. I receive it, Holy Spirit. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. For they are impudent and stubborn children. I'm sending you to them, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God. As for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house. Yeah, they will know that a prophet has been among them. There's the key words. Whether they hear or whether they refuse, I'm sending my prophet. I am a prophet to some of you. I'm an apostle to some of you. If you've received that anointing in my life, it's on my life. In your life, it'll transform your life. It ain't me. I'm a human. But the anointing of God on me, the word apostle means one who is sent, a sent one. I was sent here to do this work and change everybody's life that gets around me. As a prophet, I'm a mouthpiece for God. I speak the word he gives me to speak. Wow. Yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns are with you, and you dwell among scorpions. Do not be afraid of their words or dismayed by their looks, though they are a rebellious house. You shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they're rebellious. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth, I give you. And when I looked, there was a hand stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book was in it. He spread it out before me, and there was writing on the inside and on the outside, and writing on it, and written on it were lamentations and mourning and woe. Chapter 3. Moreover, he said to me, son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel. Here we go. And he said to me, so I opened my mouth and he caused me to eat the scroll. He said, son of man, feed your belly. Fill your stomach with this scroll that I give you. So I ate, and it was in my mouth like honey and sweetness. Right out of the 119th Psalm, that the word was sweeter than honey. He said to me, son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them, for you are not sent to a people of unfamiliar speech and of hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not too many people of unfamiliar speech and the hard of language, whose words you cannot understand. Surely, had I sent you to them, they would have listened to you. But the house of Israel will not listen to you, because they will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel are impotent and hard-hearted. Behold, I've made your face strong against their faces, and your forehead strong against their foreheads, like adamant stone, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, nor dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house. Moreover, he said to me, son of man, receive into your heart all my words that I speak to you and hear with your ears. Go, get to the captives, to the children of the people, and speak to them and tell them, thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or whether they refuse. Spirit lifted me up. I heard behind me a great thunderous voice. Blessed is the glory of the Lord from his place. I also heard the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels beside them, and a great thunderous noise. So the Spirit lifted me up, took me away, and I went in bitterness, in the heat of my spirit. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. And I came to the captives at Tel Abib, who dwelt by the river Chebar. And I sat where they sat, and remained there astonished among them 7 days. Now, everybody hold your place right there. I want to add a set of verses here. Let's go to Matthew. I guess we got to go the right way. Go to the right to the book of Matthew. I believe that's what I'm looking for. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 is the parable of the sower. And I know I'm supposed to be reading Ezekiel, but I know tonight there are some people with us that have got to hear this message. Verse 11, 10 through 23. I'm not going to read it all. Maybe I will, but that's the reference. Matthew 13, 10 through 23. The disciples came to him and said, "Why do you speak to them in parables? Please listen to this." He said, "Because it's been given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom of God." Who's he speaking to? To his servants, his disciples. Okay? "It's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it's not been given. For whoever has the seed planted, revelation given, whoever has that, more will be given and you'll have abundance. But whoever does not have revelation, because he doesn't diligently seek, even what he has will be taken away. Not by God, by the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire of other things. The thief steals. God blesses. 13, speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And he said to them, And the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, hearing you will hear and you will not understand. Seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull." Don't let your heart grow dull. Everybody's heart will grow dull unless you choose to keep it hot. Keep listening. "Seeing you will see and not perceive. The hearts of the people have grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing." You hear people say it all the time, "I just can't understand the word. No matter how hard I try, I can't understand the word." You're going to get that. Don't say it. "Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly, I say to you, many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, to hear what you hear, and they did not hear it." This is the parable of the sower. "Anyone who hears the word of the kingdom does not understand it. The wicked one comes immediately and snatches away what was sown in their heart." How does he do it? "Persecution, tribulation, confusion, frustration, and 1,000 fiery darts." And he's trying to get you to decide those are your thoughts. They're not. They're fiery darts. "He received the seed on stony places. He who hears the word immediately receives it with joy, yet he doesn't have any root or depth of earth. Endures only for a while. tribulation, persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. He who received word among the thorns is he who hears the word, but the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for something else chokes out the word, and the word becomes unfruitful. During COVID, all of us had a wake-up call. They shut the whole world down. Everybody got serious with their faith and with God. Everybody got rid of the sins of their flesh. Everybody said, we better get our stuff together. But now we've left that, and that pressure is no longer on us. Now the pressure of daily living is on us. Did you stay focused on his word, or have you let the cares of the world take it away from you? He who received the seed on good ground is he who hears the word, understands it, and who indeed bears fruit and produces some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100. We see right now in the book of Ezekiel, God sent Ezekiel to this people and said, go talk. Whether they hear you or not, it's not up to you. It's up to them if they will diligently seek me. If you got things that are controlling your life, like pornography, watching movies, maybe you got some kind of a game you play or some kind of a something that just consumes all of your time, fast it and get the word of God out and speak it. Jesus said that the parable of the sower is the most important parable of the whole New Testament. He said, if you don't understand that one, you don't understand any of them. Read it out loud, memorize it, speak it, declare it as your own, and it will come alive to you, and your life will change. Chapter number 3, I'm in Ezekiel 3, 16. Ezekiel is a watchman. Came to pass at the end of the 7 days that the word of the Lord came to me saying, now notice that, God gave him a vision. He went where the people was, but he sat there in awe, wonder, and amazement for 7 days until God brought him the words to speak. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them a warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. For goodness sakes, don't go take part of the wickedness with the wicked. Whatever you do, don't stop until we're done tonight. This is good. This is good stuff right here. I'm going to read that again. You give him no warning nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. That same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked ways, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you did not give him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered. That ought to wake some people up. His blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning. You will have delivered your soul. Hold on a second. There it is. You will have delivered your soul. God's pretty serious about those two statements. Then the hand of the Lord was upon me there, and he said to me, arise, go out into the plain, and there I shall talk with you. I arose, went out into the plain. Behold, the glory of the Lord stood there, like glory which I saw by the river Chebar, and I fell on my face. Then the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet and spoke with me and said to me, shut yourself inside your house, and you, O son of man, surely they will put ropes on you and bind you with them, so that you cannot go out among them. I will make your tongue cling to the roof of your mouth, so that you shall be mute and not be one to rebuke them for their rebellious house. But when I speak with you, I will open your mouth, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God, he who hears, let him hear. He who refuses, let him refuse, for they are a rebellious house. Somebody look up how many times God says they are a rebellious house in the book of Ezekiel. That would be a very interesting search to see. The only time the phrase rebellious house is used in the Bible is in the book of Ezekiel. And it's used 14 times in the book of Ezekiel. They are a rebellious house. Chapter 4. We're doing pretty good for all the preaching I'm doing. Let's just pause and get an amen or I love the word out of everybody.
Amen. My phone doesn't want to cooperate when I want it to.
Yeah, all right. Hold on just a second. I don't see Brother Roger, so I'm going to send him a quick text and say, get over here. Chapter 4. The siege of Jerusalem portrayed. You also, son of man, take a clay tablet and lay it before you, and portray on it a city, Jerusalem. Lay siege against it. Build a siege wall against it. Keep up a mound against it. Set camps against it also. Place battering rams against it all around. Moreover, take for yourself an iron plate and set it as an iron wall between you and the city. Set your face against it. This shall be besieged, and you shall lay siege against it. This will be a sign to the house of Israel. Lie also on your left side and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it. According to the numbers of the day that you lay on it, you shall bear their iniquity. For I have laid on you the years of their iniquity, according to the number of the days, 390 days. So you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. And when you have completed them, lie on again on your right side. Then you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have laid on you a day for each year. Therefore you shall set your face toward the siege of Jerusalem. Your arm shall be uncovered, and you shall prophesy against it. Surely I will restrain you so that you cannot turn from one side to another till you have ended the days of your siege. Also take for yourself barley, beans, lentils, millet, spelt. That's probably good eating. If all y'all want to know what to eat, eat wheat, barley, beans, lentils, millet, and spelt. Just make it the organic kind. Put them into one vessel. Make bread for yourself. During the numbers of the day that you lay on your side, 390 days, you shall eat it. And your food which you eat shall be by weight 20 shekels a day. From time to time you shall eat it. You shall also drink water by measure, 1/6 of a hin. From time to time you shall drink. And you shall eat it as barley cakes and bake it using fuel of human waste in their sight. This is serious. So the Lord said, so the children of Israel eat their defiled bread among the Gentiles, where I will drive them. I said, ah, Lord God, indeed, I have never defiled myself from my youth until now. I have never eaten what died or of itself was torn by a beast, nor has abominable flesh ever come into my mouth. And he said to me, see, I am giving you cow dung instead of human waste, and you shall prepare your bread over it. Wow, what an amazing vision. If you've ever read it before, you're reading it again, and it has a whole lot more power while we're reading it out loud. 15. 16. Moreover, he said to me, son of man, surely I will cut off the supply of bread in Jerusalem. They shall eat bread by weight and with anxiety, and shall drink water by measure and with dread. You don't want to eat and drink with anxiety and dread, that they may lack bread and water and be dismayed with one another and waste away because of their iniquity. Read the Bible. Go to the New Testament. Galatians chapter 5. Romans chapter 1. And one more place. 2 Timothy 3. All of those are the work of the flesh. If you're doing any of those, don't. Study the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus until you get it. If you don't have it, don't be condemned. But you start sending me an email until you say, Pastor, I got to get the revelation of this. And I'll stick with you. Because if you're doing the act of iniquity and you've been born again, God does not just look away from the act. He looks at the act. And he's telling these people, you can cook your bread with cow dung. He's so angry at them. This is real. Ezekiel chapter 5. And you, son of man, take a sharp sword. Take it as a barber's razor. Pass it over your head and your beard. Then take scales to weigh and divide the hair. You shall burn with fire one third in the midst of the city. When the days of the siege are finished, you shall take one third and strike around it with the sword. One third you shall scare the wind. I will draw out a sword after them. You shall also take a small number of them and bind them in the edge of your garment. Then take some of them again and throw them into the midst of the fire and burn them in the fire. From there a fire will go out into all the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, this is Jerusalem. I have set her in the midst of the nations and the countries all around her. She has rebelled against my judgments by doing wickedness more than the nations, and against my statutes more than the countries that are all around her. For they have refused my judgments, and they have not walked in my statutes. I'm going to tell you something, guys. Help me find that verse of scripture that says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. It's in the book of Isaiah. I think it's 28 or 12 or something. Somebody help me find it. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And for 12 to 50, 38 years, I wrestled with the doctrines of the church. for 38 years. And the church said, well, as long as you're doing pretty good, you're all right. You know, you're never going to be holy and totally perfect. You just won't be. But it's all right. Just keep working the best you can to be holy and perfect. Well, if that's the doctrine you believe, you're gonna do good, but you're gonna still find yourself in sin. And as a believer, what's the biggest sin you're gonna have? It's your mouth and your heart holding offense and speaking against other people. But the day came when a man of God stood in front of me and said, have you never heard of the righteousness of faith? And I'm like, I don't know what that is. And he's like, you've been pastoring for 20 years. How do you not know that? I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. And when he showed me the righteousness of faith, it transformed me forever. But when that happened, I had to be willing to lead the indoctrinations of religiosity and accept the new way. And there's a lot of people who will not do that. And it will cause you to have a downfall in your Christian life. I had wrestled with that stuff and been so confused by why I continually was facing, I mean, according to the Bible, you don't sin. But according to the old doctrines, hey, you're going to do your best, but you're going to just sin every now and then. No, you're not going to sin every now and then. Everybody pause just a second. It's sunset time in North Dakota, and I just don't miss a sunset because they're just magnanimous. If you haven't seen my Facebook page the last couple of days, I put up a bunch of sunset and then one northern light picture you got to see. I don't know. There is somebody here tonight or a group of somebodies that I am helping right now. Our assignment for tonight is read the word, but as a man of God, an apostle, a prophet, and a pastor, it is my duty to pastor whoever shows up. There it is. Thank you, Rebecca. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, Hosea 4:6. So I'm telling my own story, and I want you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. We'll come back here. We'll finish reading some more Ezekiel, but I've got to speak this word tonight. So, what time is it? 49 minutes in. I keep hearing somebody say, Pastor, I want to know about the righteousness of faith. All right. I would normally say, send me an email, and I'll send you some videos to study. But I'm being instructed by God right now to speak this word. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. And that goes down through 21. Make sure you put those verses in Philippians 3 through 21. And I'm going to focus on 3 to 11. Now listen to this statement. This is the Apostle Paul. You're going to see this right now. The revelation knowledge of God is going to come to you right now. For we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit. Remember, Paul's always dealing with the scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees who are perfect according to the law, but their hearts are wicked. We are the circumcision and worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have zero confidence in the flesh. Though I might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I'm more so. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I'm of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. I am a Hebrew of the Hebrews, which means he had a doctorate degree, like a doctorate degree in being a Hebrew. Concerning the law, he was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, he persecuted the truth until he killed Christians. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless, he could keep all 613 of them. You're right. He did nothing else in his day except keep the law. Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. Concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me when I was that man, I have counted loss for the cross of Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. It doesn't matter if you sing good. It doesn't matter if you read the Bible good. It doesn't matter if you teach a good children's church or Sunday school lesson or preach. If you're doing it for the fulfillment of your flesh and to be seen, you're wrong. This anointing that is on me to do this, there's no glory in this for me. Like God said to Ezekiel, you will say what I tell you to say to whoever I tell you to say it. And if you don't, their blood will be on your hands. That's pretty serious. That don't have nothing to do with you or me. Keep reading. Look at verse 9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law of the flesh, but that which is through faith in Christ. You get your righteousness from Jesus. That the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now watch this. Verse 9 is where you find this. And be found in him. But it is not by the works of your flesh. It's because you receive the blood of Jesus. When you do, you receive his righteousness. When you do, all sin loses its power. Unless, of course, you're going to hang on to the statements that the spirit of religion, which is a demonic spirit, has handed to the church that says you can never be perfect. You can never be holy like Jesus. You're going to sin every day. That is a lying, demonic spirit that is speaking those words. I've made a lot of enemies saying this. But it doesn't matter. My voice has to tell the truth, no matter who doesn't believe it. When Jesus said of the Father, be ye therefore holy as I am holy, he wasn't just bored and letting his tongue wander around for a while. He was speaking the words of Almighty God by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, I only say what I hear my Father say, and I only do what I hear, see my Father do. When the Apostle Paul said that we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, those weren't just wasted words. Those are words that mean God takes your faith and your desire for righteousness and gives you Jesus' righteousness because you willingly receive it and you function in his righteousness. Write another verse down. You ready? Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Say it with me. I'm supposed to have the mind of Christ. I know this is read the word, but did you hear what God just said to Ezekiel? I'm going to give you a word, and you better speak it, or their blood will be on your hands. And right now tonight, somebody's here, and your blood's on my hands, and I'm going to speak the word of God to you. See, Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You are supposed to have the mind of Christ. Well, you're just trying to be like God. Nailed it. I'm going to be just like Jesus until that's all you see. See, the spirit of religion, and it's in 10,000 churches will preach it this Sunday. Listen, brother, don't worry about it. Everybody sins a little bit every now and then. Some people's sins are more than others, but as long as you're in church paying your tithe and you're right here with us, you're going to be okay. No, you're hurting your life when you believe that doctrine. God's not going to judge you with a fist of wrath saying, bam, you sinned, I judge you. God's saying, just accept my righteousness and you'll no longer be there. You won't. You will continually have to say, whoops, I shouldn't have done that. And when you start speaking something, saying something, doing something, the Holy Spirit will be like, stop, stop, stop. And at first you'll be like, wait, I've done this my whole life. Whoops, stop, whoops. And your mouth will run. You're like, whoop. And you'll have to go back and say, you know what? I said something the other day and I shouldn't have said that. You see, what it is the Holy Spirit is taking out all those trees that were planted in you that are not of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 16. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? None of us. Look at this next verse. But we have the mind of Christ. That's two references. See, we got to get out of this doctrine of religiosity. It says everybody's going to sin, just don't worry about it. No. That's what happened to Israel. We just read it for 3 months. That's what just happened to Israel. They began to pick up the things of the world and the nations around them saying, oh, he doesn't care. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. He cares very deeply. You're sinning against the blood of Jesus. Now watch. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as babies in Christ, fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now, you were not able to receive it, and even now, some of you still aren't able. For you're still carnal. Where there's envy, strife, and division among you, are you not carnal and behaving like men? See, when you receive the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you literally are infused with the divine nature of God. That's why he said you are a new creation. You either are a new creation or you're not. There's no halfway. You either are or you aren't. Now watch this. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 through 4. I know we're in Ezekiel, guys. Just be patient. I am helping somebody right now, and I'm being obedient to the call of God on my life right now. And I will not have, you and I will not have their blood on our hands, and I'm almost finished. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us. He's given unto us everything that pertains to life, that's your dailiness, and to godliness, that's your righteousness. He's given it to you. It is not of works, because man will boast. It is not of works, because man will boast. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Verse 4. By which have been given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, and you could put there, of God, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The way you beat these sins is, number one, you stop saying you sin every day and God's okay. No, God's going to love you. His grace and mercy is going to empower you while you're learning this. And his blood will cover your sin, but you still got to go to him and say, I've sinned. And he's going to say, I know it. You got to receive my righteousness. And you'll be like, I don't even know how, but just don't stop saying it till you get it. Literally, I was 12 when I was born again, and I was 50 when I got the revelation. 50. I chased God for 38 years saying, no, there's more. There's something else here. There's something else here. Throwing off religiosity. Throwing off religiosity. There's something else here. There is something else here. If I have, since you and I have been given his divine nature, he didn't sin. Jesus didn't sin. 1 John chapter 3. Four through nine, ten. 4 through 10. 1 John 3:4-10. Whoever commits sin commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. So he did it. He took it away. Just do this. Take away all my sins, Jesus. Fill me with your righteousness. Now see, as soon as I say that, I can feel righteousness just filling my being. And you might say, Pastor, I don't have that same experience. Well, number one, you don't have that experience because you still accept the doctrine of, I'm going to sin every day a little bit, but that's okay. God still loves me. God loves you. But God just said by the Holy Spirit, whoever commits sin commits lawlessness. Now, he loves you because you're confused about that doctrine. And he's going to stay with you. He will not leave you. I will not leave you until you get this straightened out. Hurry up. The rapture's coming. You don't want to miss it. 5. You know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sins, and he did take them away. 6. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. And my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge about how to be free from sin. Verse 7, little children, let no one deceive you. Don't be deceived. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil. Now, I didn't say it, but I sure experienced it. Fear, condemnation, conviction. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil, and he did it. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's been born of God. But you can sin if you decide to go out and sin. And just like the children of Israel who went and acted like the people of that day and that nation, God let them go. He has to because he gave you a choice. But it is still sin. And it will still keep you from the presence of God. Yes, you will miss the rapture if you don't take it and get yourself in the right place. Smile. I'm helping you see the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm helping. Verse 9, whoever's been born of God does not sin. I don't know how you take that verse out of the Bible. See, that verse confronts this religious demon telling you that it's all right to sin. And it ain't. Pornography, it's not okay. Witchcraft, that's not okay. Sitting down fellowshipping with movies of horror and killing and murder and lust and greed, that is not okay with God. You can judge me and you don't have to like me, but I'm telling you, the other side of that is when you receive this righteousness, there's no desire for any of that stuff anymore. And your desire is to grow in God and then be around people and help people, communicate and love and be together and help your family know God and help others know God and continually be out changing your community and changing your world and what you're doing. Verse 10, 1 John 3:10. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Now, all of those verses are there. Somebody grab them all and put them in one comment so we can have all of these verses and put them in one comment. And that way you can grab them and put them together. Just spend a little time on that if you would. One of you that's been here a while. I'm going back now to Ezekiel chapter 5, verse number 5. Ezekiel 5, 5. Thus says the Lord God, this is Jerusalem. I've set her in the midst of the nations and the countries all around her. She has rebelled against my judgments by doing wickedness more than the nations, and against my statutes more than the countries that are all around her. For they have refused my judgment, and they have not walked in my statutes. But guys, the nations didn't know. These people knew. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have multiplied disobedience more than the nations that are all around you, have not walked in my statutes, nor kept my judgments, nor even done according to the judgments of the nations that are around you. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, indeed, I am against you and will execute judgments in your midst in the sight of the nations. I I will do among you what I have never done, and the like of which I will never do again, because of all of your abominations. Open up the Bible, figure out what an abomination is, and see if you're doing any of those things. Don't do them. I can't stop, Pastor. I know. I was there. I was there. Please, 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 please listen to me. The only way out of that religious indoctrination is quit accepting it and quit speaking it out of your lips. Because you don't want a spirit of religion to be something that keeps you from making it in the rapture. I know this is a serious word tonight. My message I teach usually is a message of faith, because if I can get faith in your heart, you will walk with God. But there is a religious indoctrination in this day that you have got to get rid of, and that religious indoctrination is it's okay to sin. It's really not, God doesn't really care. That doesn't make sense. Why would a holy God who will not allow any sin in heaven why would he say it's okay to sin? And where's the line where he say you should stop and sin? Well, you can do a little sin, just a little white lie, but not a real lie. A lie is a lie. You can have a little adultery, but not a lot. No, see, that you can't. Just don't steal big things, just little ones. You cannot make any of that make sense. You can't make it make sense. It's what he just said. It's what God, by the Holy Spirit, just wrote this verse in the Bible. Ezekiel 5:8. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, indeed I, even I, am against you. And I will execute judgments in your midst in some of the sight of the nations. I will do among you what I have never done. Where did my card go? I will do among you what I have never done, and the like of which I will never do again, because of your abomination. He is talking to his people. 10. Therefore, fathers shall eat their sons in your midst, and sons shall eat their fathers. And I will execute judgments among you, and all of you who remain I will scatter to all the winds. He literally means they ate each other because there was no food. Therefore, as I live, says the Lord God, surely because you have defiled my sanctuary with your detestable things and with all your abominations, therefore I will also diminish you. My eye will not spare, nor will I have any pity. 1/3 of you shall die of pestilence and be consumed with famine in your midst. 1/3 shall fall by the sword all around you. And I will scatter another 1/3 to all the winds, and I will draw the sword after them. Thus shall my anger be spent, and I will cause my fury to rest upon them, and I'll be avenged, and they shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken in it in my zeal when I have spent my fury upon them. Moreover, I will make you a waste and a reproach among the nations that are all around you and in the sight of those who pass by. So it shall be a reproach, a taunt, a lesson, an astonishment to the nations that are all around you when I execute judgments against you and in furious rebukes, I, the Lord, have spoken it. So I will send against you famine and wild beasts, and they will bereave you. Pestilence and blood shall pass through you, and I will bring the sword against you. I, the Lord, have spoken it. Let me say this again. Wow. What a night. Listen, I know tonight I've reached somebody. And I've made this very applicable to your life. That religious demon has caused a lot of people to never find God. Remember, demons believe in Jesus and tremble, but they do not know him. Paul said that I might know him, power of his resurrection. I want you to get this. His mercy endures forever, and the sign, the greatest sign of a successful Christian is a teachable spirit. Say it with me. I have a teachable spirit. But my brothers and sisters, you got to chase after God. You must chase after God. For 38 years, I chased him. I don't get it. Father, help me. Look what I just said to those people. I got to go back and fix it. I'd go back and fix it. Look what I just did. Can't believe I just did that. Why? Where's it coming from? It's coming from that religious indoctrination that said, listen, buddy, you're going to sin every day. But don't, remember, God still loves you. He does still love you. But he's standing there with the blood of Jesus saying, understand my word and you'll no longer fight this battle. Now, I've got to finish this. So go with me to Psalm 103. We were here last night, but this is interesting. I was so focused, I was going to read 10 chapters tonight. But it's okay, because right now tonight I'm saving somebody's life. I'm saving your life. In the day we live, pornography, perfect video games, we call that virtual reality. That is some of the worst perversion that's ever happened in mankind. And there's games you can play, but don't waste your time on things that has no eternal value in it. There's no eternal value there. People get caught up in it, and then you turn around and look, and you're like, I didn't help them find Jesus. Maybe you did. But you got to be careful what it is you're doing. And you got to be the life. You got to be the force. You got to be the righteousness. And you most definitely can't get into that perversion. You just can't do it. You don't go lay with a prostitute to help her find Jesus. You don't go steal with the wicked so that you can help them learn not to steal. You don't shed innocent blood. Not with your hands and not with your lips. Look at this. Psalm 103. I want to read this again to encourage you in the Lord. Bless the Lord, it's verses 1 through 21, 22. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. I noticed during those years when I'm chasing after God, there was times where I just was like, I lift my hands and I'd see that person filled with the glory and that person filled with the glory, and I wasn't. And I'm like, why am I not filled with the glory? You heard Brother John say it the other day. Well, in his situation, he had offense with people. In your situation, it can be you're committing a sin. Maybe your words are wrong. Maybe your actions are wrong. Maybe you've exceeded this doctrine so much that you're into the sins of the flesh, sexual sins. They're sin, folks. They will keep you from God. You got to see the reality. He rewards those who diligently seek him, and the blood of Jesus is covering you. And it is purging you and his righteousness have been given to you. Keep reading. Verse 2, bless the Lord and forget not all his benefits. Remember them. He forgives all of your iniquities. Yes, he does. He heals all diseases. He redeems your life from destruction. That's why you're sitting in front of me tonight. You're being redeemed right now, bought back from destruction. And as a bold minister of the gospel, I'm saying it to you with no condemnation. I was there. I know what you're fighting. And I want to stand beside you all the way to victory. And I want to get your mouth speaking like mine. He redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy. He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like an eagle. Some people are, their bodies are broken. Their bodies are torn down. And you have sickness and disease processes and different things happening. But what's coming out of your mouth? What are your actions? The power of life and death is in your mouth and what you're doing. Verse number 6, the Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. God sees that oppression you are in under that power of that sin, and he is executing righteousness and justice on it. His righteousness brings his justice against the enemy. I pray every day and say, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, every bit of that battle I fought for 38 years was because the enemy was fighting me. Therefore, I charge him guilty, and I demand 7 times and double for the shame in my life because I was seeking you, and the enemy was beating me hard. He executes righteousness and justice for all the place. I oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious. He is. Slow to anger, abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. As the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. When you come to him, he removes it all. He does it. You know, just you don't have any sin-defeating force in your being. It's his righteousness that you receive. And as soon as you receive it, he wipes it out. So when you sin, you go back and pick that thing up because you're doing it out of habitual action. Pastor, how in the world do I stop it? Get a revelation of his righteousness. Your righteousness will never be good enough. His righteousness will never fail. And he makes you into that righteousness. Woo! Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far he's removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, has compassion, so the Lord pities and has compassion on those who fear him. He knows our frames. He remembers we're dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourishes. Wind passes over and it's gone, and in its place remember him no more. 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to your children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his host, you ministers of his who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Ezekiel chapter 5. Now listen. Every time I preach this message, somebody gets offended at me. Do not get offended. Please. Please listen to me. I'm not saying, nana, 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 I don't sin, you do. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I fought that same battle for 38 years. I don't fight it no more. Why? Not because I'm something big and amazing that you ain't. I had to get my revelation from the same book you got to get it from. And until you get this nose and these two eyes and these two ears and this spirit man in this book, you will not get this revelation. And you'll be looking at me saying, man, he must be blessed of God. No, it has been given to me to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And that year when that happened in my life, I had set out at January of that year and said, I will find this answer in this book. And my Lord Jesus, did I have to fight that year? All of hell broke loose because I was coming to the revelation that would set me free. And forever, from that point on, I would help people get set free. Now, he's full of mercy. He truly is. He's filled with mercy. But you got to go after him. He's not hidden it from you. He's hidden it for you. But you have to diligently seek it every day. Or you won't get it. Matthew 13. And begin to study it. Send me text and emails, instant messages. Send them to me. I will help you win this battle, and I will never use your name publicly. I'll never expose your sin. I will help you win this battle. If you're a female, my wife Leanne will help us. We'll help you win this battle. Because the answer is in the parable of the sower. That's where my answer came from. That's where your answer is going to come from. And you'll find it there. Please, please, please don't be offended at me. I have no judgment against you. I know what those days are like. Hey, Sister Leanne just got home.
I did. Hi, everybody. Missed you, but I could hear you. Well, I could hear you.
All right. It's a good word tonight, isn't it?
Not much reading, but good words.
Hey, well, I've made it through 5 chapters, whether or not you think that's much. Matter of fact, for that, could you please get me a little more coffee?
Yes, I will. Hi, Ruby.
She walks in the door and just starts smacking me.
Yeah.
I took him out. Back to this. Please don't be offended at tonight. I know I confronted sin. But you have to. I just read it out of Ezekiel. If I don't say what God gives me to say, your blood will be on my hands, and that will not happen. That will not happen in my life. When you know the truth sets you free. Jesus said, it has been given to you to know the mysteries. And if you will seek the mystery and the answer to him who seeks, more revelation will be given. As soon as you stop seeking, then what you have begins to go away because the cares of the world come. And the enemy steals that word from you. Or the briars choke it. Don't let it happen. Turn all the garbage off. Turn it off. please, I beg of you. And if you don't and you miss the rapture, please find all my YouTube videos and study them diligently. Because at day number 630, at day 630 of the tribulation, there will be another rapture. 630 days in the middle of the tribulation is a long time to make it, but you'll make it. Don't miss the rapture. This is serious. This is extremely serious. I don't have no condemnation. I have arms of love for every person. Listen to me. If you're caught in homosexuality, bestiality, thieving in stores, and you run a sex ring and you're delivering drugs, I'll help you get free if you want to, and I'll never judge you. I tried to make it really bad. It doesn't matter what the sin is, because it all falls apart as soon as you can just receive his righteousness. It all falls off. And to live a wonderful life of righteousness. And that's what I want for you. Okay. We have finished Ezekiel. Wait, I want to pray. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name. Matter of fact, let's pray it out loud. Sister Phyllis, Sister Rebecca, come on live with me and pray this right out loud.
I'm here.
I like to do it this way because then people hear somebody else praying it with them. You ready? So say this with me. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I have received your righteousness.
I have received your righteousness.
Even if I don't understand it.
Even if I don't understand it.
And I am walking in the paths of righteousness.
And I am walking in the paths of righteousness.
For your name's sake.
For your name's sake.
Help me get the revelation.
Help me get the revelation
of the truth of the righteousness of Christ. So that my life will forever be free.
So that my life will forever be free.
And I will be able to walk with you.
And I will be able to walk with you.
Free from sin.
Free from sin.
Filled with the Holy Spirit. A messenger of this word for you.
A messenger of this word for you.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen and amen. Now,
amen.
I'm going to read from Ezekiel 5 through Ezekiel 8 because that gives us 2 days to be finished. When we're finished with that, we'll receive communion. So stick around. You stay up late watching movies. Why wouldn't you stay up late to hear the word of God?
Oh, I'd stay up the next 8 hours to listen to you read the word of God.
Here we go. I even got a fresh cup of coffee from Sister Leanne in my grandpa mug. Josiah, Micah, and Elijah, I love you guys.
You are so blessed.
Nice.
Here we go. I'm in Ezekiel chapter 6. We're doing this. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, set your face toward the mountains of Israel and prophesy against them and say, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God to the mountains, to the hills, to the ravines, and to the valleys. Indeed, I will bring a sword against you, and I will destroy your high places. Your altars shall be desolate. Your incense altars shall be broken. I will cast down your slain men before your idols. I will lay the corpse of the children of Israel before their idols, and I will scatter your bones all around your idols. people say, Pastor, was the mountains doing something? No, that's where they went. They went up into a high mountain to go worship these false gods. Find this one verse. I remember, don't worry about the 92nd lady. I remember as we were reading through the law, there it is, Leviticus, throw this verse in there, Leviticus 18:28. It says, lest the land vomit you out also when you defile it, as it vomited out the nations that were before you. So God's not telling the trees and the mountains, I'm going to crush you. He is saying to the children of Israel, you're going up into those high mountains, and that's where you're creating your altars, sacrificing your children before the God of Baal and Molech, and therefore I'm going to scatter your bones all over those altars. And that's what the men of God did. They would kill them, and they would burn their bodies on the altar of those false gods. God hated it so much. Verse 4. Then your altars shall be desolate, your incense altars shall be broken, and I will cast down your slain men before your idols. I will lay the corpse of your children before their idols, and I will scatter your bones all around your altars. In all your dwelling places, the cities shall be laid waste, and the high places shall be desolate, so that your altars may be laid waste and made desolate. Your idols may be broken and made to cease. Your incense altars may be cut down, and your works may be abolished. The slain shall fall in your midst, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Yet I will leave a remnant, so that you may have some who escape the sword among the nations. When you are scattered through the countries, then those of you who escape will remember me among the nations when they are carried captive, because I was crushed by their adulterous hearts, which has departed from me, and by their eyes, which play the harlot after their idols. They will loathe themselves for the evils which they have committed in all of these abominations. And you know what? When people sin and they do wickedness, you loathe yourself. You really do. You're like, hate this, that I'm bound by this.
Yeah.
So ashamed of myself. Shame is of the devil. Hate is of the devil. Fear is of the devil. Stop being concerned about all of that stuff. Get your nose in this book in the New Testament and study the words of righteousness, and you will find the doctrine of righteousness. It's not hard to do. You just got to get focused on it.
Amen.
Amen. I look back at my life. Literally, I'm being pretty transparent with you guys. It was a 38-year struggle. Honestly. And I look back and can see all the times when I was diligently chasing God and saying, I'm getting this, I'm getting this. You know what would come every time? Financial battle. You know what the financial battle made me do? Made me go to work. You know what that did? Took out your time to study. You would have to work harder to make it and take away your study time. It's a battle of the devil, guys. You got to work or you won't eat. That's the Bible. But the process is get rid of everything that is just clutter and noise, and get this book open and study righteousness. Listen, I'm going to say it again, and then I'm going to keep reading. I, I'm I'm saving somebody's life right now tonight. And I don't care what preacher has ever said they would help you and didn't. If you come to me, I will help you. You might even say, Pastor, I came to you before and you didn't help me. Well, that's not true. I'll help anybody that comes to me, but you got to make sure I got your request for help. Because just because you sent it don't mean I got it. If you've not received help from me, that means I didn't get it. Mm-hmm. And don't blame me. And don't blame you. Take authority over every bit of this technology so you can be blessed and be helped in Jesus' mighty name.
Mighty.
Woo! This is a good night. I enjoy this. Don't you love the word of God? Verse 6. I'm in 6:6. In all your dwelling places, the cities shall be laid waste. The high places shall be desolate, so that your altars may be laid waste and made desolate. Your idols may be broken and made to cease. Your incense altars may be cut down and your works will be abolished. The slain shall fall in your midst and you shall know that I am the Lord. I liked it in Jeremiah when he said, well, talk to that idol you made. You cut down a tree, half of it you use for warmth and half of it you use for an idol. Talk to it. Yet I will leave a remnant so that you may have some who escape the sword among the nations when you are scattered through the countries. Then those of you who escape will remember me among the nations where they are carried captive, because I was crushed by their adulterous heart, which has departed from me, and by their eyes, which play the harlot after their idols. They will loathe themselves for the evils which they committed and all their abominations. Wow. They shall know that I am the Lord. I have not said in vain that I would bring this calamity upon them. Thus says the Lord your God, pound your fist, stamp your feet, and say, alas for all the evil abominations of the house of Israel, for they shall fall by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. He who is far off shall die by the pestilence. He who is near shall fall by the sword. He who remains and is besieged shall die by famine. Thus will I spend my fury upon them. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, when their slain are among their idols, all around their altars, on every high hill and all the mountains, under every green tree and under every thick oak where they offered sweet incense to their idols. I will stretch out my hand against them and make the land desolate. Yes, more desolate than the wilderness toward Dibla and all their dwelling places. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. Now listen to this. Every bit of this tonight is reaching people that are with us. I can tell that I'm helping people get free from sexual sins, from witchcraft, horror movies, the abominations of religiosity that's causing people to sin right in church and think it's okay. I know I'm dealing with those four things tonight. I can tell in the realm of the spirit. No matter what. Now that Leanne's here, we will help anybody get free from this, won't we? We don't have any condemnation for it. If you're a female, my wife will help you. I don't get in personal private rooms with women. I don't do it. If I'm going to help you, we're going to do it together. Because we want you to be free. This is the amazing thing about it. When that man spoke that word to me, I was free in a matter of seconds. Just, pew, there it is. I jumped right up and shouted. And he was like, "You've been a pastor 20 years and you don't know this?" And I'm like, "What can I do? I don't know. There's nothing else to say. I didn't know. I know now." That's how serious revelation is. Ezekiel chapter 7. Pastor, why do you keep doing this? Because I keep reading all these judgments that's coming on people. And I don't want you to be judged. I don't want this. I don't want what's written on this page to come into your life, but it's coming. There's no difference between them and this generation. Except we put a phone in our kids' pockets that have every bit of this wicked perversion in it.
Yeah.
And then say, "What's wrong with you? Why you didn't stand up?" Don't do that. Chapter 7. We're going to get this done. Keep holding up the sign that says, "Read the word," okay? "More of the word of the Lord came to me," said, "and you, son of man, thus says the Lord God to the land of Israel, an end. The end has come upon the four corners of the land. Now the end has come upon you, and I will send my anger against you. I will judge you according to your ways, and I will repay you for all your abominations. And your abominations will be in your midst. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Thus says the Lord God." A disaster, a singular disaster. "Behold, it has come. An end has come. The end has come. It's dawned for you. Behold, it has come. Doom has come to you who dwell in the land." You notice this is all in poetry form?
Yeah.
"The time has come. A day of trouble is near, and not of rejoicing in the mountains. Now upon you I will soon pour out my fury and spend my anger upon you. I will judge you according to your works. I will repay you for all your abominations." You know, it's not hard to find the list of abominations in the Bible.
No, it really isn't.
Just open the Bible. Here, this is a very novel force. Ready? Open the Bible and actually believe what these verses say. Just do it. Now, this is novel. This is a whole new revelation for 22. Just open the Bible and just believe what God actually says. It works. You remember where I am? 9. "My eye will not spare, nor will I have pity. I will repay you according to your ways, and your abominations will be in your midst. Then you shall know that I am the Lord who strikes." Watch this. I want to say this. For those of you tonight that this is not you that I'm talking about, when we have a message like this, your place and your position in a night like tonight is to say, "Father, help these people receive this." All night long while I'm saying it, you go into intercession. "Lord, help them. Help whoever it is to see this. Open the eyes of their understanding." Because now you're doing your part to intercede. Verse 10, "Behold the day, behold it has come, doom has gone out. The rod has blossomed, pride has budded, violence has risen up into a rod of wickedness. None of them shall remain, none of their multitude, none of them. Nor shall there be wailing for them. The time has come, the days draw near, the day draws near. Let not the buyer rejoice, nor the seller mourn. For wrath is on their whole multitude. For the seller shall not return to what has been sold, though he may still be alive. For the vision concerns the whole multitude, and it shall not turn back, nor no one will strengthen himself who lives in iniquity." Look at that statement. No one will strengthen himself who lives in iniquity. "They have blown the trumpet and made everyone ready, but no one goes to battle. My wrath is on all their multitude. The sword is outside and the pestilence and famine within. Whoever is in the field, die by the sword. Who's ever in the city, famine and pestilence will devour him. Those who survive will escape and be on the mountains like doves of the valleys, all of them mourning each for his iniquity. You know, they got doves, and many people believe a dove is a mourning sound. This is pretty good. I don't know if you knew I could do that.
That was.
18, they'll also be girded with sackcloth. Horror will cover them. Shame will be on every face. Baldness on all their heads. They will throw silver into the streets, and their gold will be like refuse. Their silver and their gold will not be able to deliver them. In the day of the wrath of the Lord, they will not satisfy their souls nor fill their stomachs, because it became their stumbling block of iniquity. As for the beauty of his ornaments, he set it in majesty. But they made from it the images of their abominations, their detestable things. Therefore, I have made it like refuse to them. I will give it as plunder into the hands of strangers, and to the wicked of the earth as spoil, and they shall defile it. I will turn my face from them, and they will defile my secret place, for robbers shall enter it and shall defile it. I was sitting here before the program looking at this in this book. It's got a picture of what the temple was like.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, it's just beautiful. That bronze sea. It had the pomegranates all over it. Mm-hmm. That had to have just been magnificent.
And they busted it all up.
Busted it all up and carried it away. Verse 23, make a chain, for the land is filled with crimes of blood and the city is full of violence. Therefore, I'll bring the worst of the Gentiles and they'll possess their houses. I'll cause the pomp of the strong to cease and their holy places shall be defiled. Destruction comes. They will seek peace, but there shall be none. Disaster will come upon disaster, and rumor will be upon rumor. Then they will seek a vision from a prophet, but the law will perish from the priest and counsel from the elders. King will mourn, the prince will be clothed in desolation, and the hands of the common people will tremble. I will do to them according to their way, and according to what they deserve, I will judge them. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. Chapter 8. And it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, on the fifth day of the sixth month. I love it. As I sat in my house with the elders of Judah sitting before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell upon me. I looked, and there was a likeness like the appearance of fire, from the appearance of his waist and downward fire, from his waist and upward, like the appearance of the brightness of the color of amber. Notice, it's the same description that he saw the last time of God. He stretched out the form of a hand, took me by the lock of my hair, and the Spirit lifted me up between earth and heaven and brought me in visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the north gate of the inner court, where the seat of the image of jealousy was, which provoked to jealousy. Behold, the glory of Israel was there like the vision that I saw in the plain. He said to me, Son of man, lift your eyes now toward the north. Lifted my eyes toward the north, and there, north of the altar gate, was the image of jealousy in the entrance. Furthermore, he said to me, Son of man, do you see what they are doing? The great abominations that the house of Israel commits here to make me go far away from my sanctuary. Now turn again. You will see greater abominations. So he brought me to the door of the court. And when I looked, there was a hole in the wall. He said to me, Son of man, dig in the wall. And when I dug in the wall, there was a door. He said to me, go in and see the wicked abominations, what they're doing there. I went in, and I saw there every sort of creeping thing, abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed all around on the walls. I see Christians that put pictures of abominations up on their wall. And don't do that. You let that spirit in when you put that picture up. You stood before them. 70 men of the elders of the house of Israel. The son of Shaphan, each man had a censer in his hand. And a thick cloud of incense went up. Let me say this about the incense. That was a very beautiful thing to God that was so pure and holy. That was pure and holy to our God.
It was a special thing shared with him.
Then he said to me, son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the room of his idols, for they say, the Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the land. This is the elders, the leaders of their nation. He said to me, turn again and you will see greater abomination than that they are doing. He brought me to the door of the north gate of the Lord's house, and to my distress, women were sitting there weeping for Tammuz. And he said to me, have you seen this, O son of man? Turn again, you will see greater abomination than these. He brought me to the inner court of the Lord's house. And there at the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east. And they were worshiping the sun toward the east. Guys, God will forgive every one of these abominations. All you had to do was turn. Remember Josiah? Josiah said, I'm not going in the ways of all these people.
Yeah.
And he began to set things in order. And then they found the book. They found the word. He did that without even having the word in his hand. And Josiah said, whoa, we're turning back to God right now. And he did. In the midst of all this wickedness, if you will just turn, God receives you. And he said to me, have you seen this, O man? Is it a trivial thing to the house of Judah to commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence. Then they have returned to provoke me to anger. Indeed, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore, I will also act in my fury. My eyes will not spare, nor will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, I will not hear them. Now, some of you are like, Pastor, am I at that place where God will not hear me? Could be. If he's been saying turn and you're not turning, you very easily could be there. Yeah. Here's the difference between them and us. In the covenant, he rewards them who diligently seek him. And if you will seek him, he will be found by you. Who is more wicked or perverse than Paul?
Oh my God.
Killing Christians in the name of God. That's wicked. So God will forgive. We saw the testimony of that lady that one night on Flashpoint. Was personally responsible for, what did she say, 25,000 abortions or something?
A lot.
I don't even know how you can get to that number. But God forgave her. And today she's one of the greatest proponents for life. Doesn't matter where you are. I'm going to close with the theme verses of Ezekiel. We'll probably do this every time we read Ezekiel chapter 36. Verses 22. through 30. Ezekiel 26. No, Ezekiel 36. Good job, Rebecca. 22 through 30. Therefore says the Lord to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations. You've profaned it in the midst, and the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed before their eyes. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all the countries, and bring you into your own land. And I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. And I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I'll give you a new heart. 2 Corinthians 5:17-21. You are a new creation. I'll give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit within you. I'll take that heart of stone out of your flesh and give you the heart of flesh. Put my spirit within you, cause you to walk in my statutes, and you'll keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all your uncleanness. How much of it? I will call for the grain and multiply it and bring no famine upon you. I'll multiply the fruit of your trees and the increase of your fields so that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations. Wow, what a night we've had tonight. I know that tonight I saved some people's lives. But just like God said to Ezekiel, if you don't speak what I give you to speak, then I will hold their blood against you. And I'm not going to have somebody's blood against my name. And I can tell you right now, there's a lot of people's blood that's on my hands. Why would you say that, Pastor, huh? I kept my mouth silent when I should have said something. But there's nothing you can do except see the truth and then move in it when you see it. That's how this works. That's why I keep saying that. Don't be condemned. Don't be condemned. Please just move toward God. Please. I beg of you. My email box should be filled with people saying, Pastor, help me. We won't judge you. Your sin doesn't matter. His righteousness is what matters. It doesn't make a difference what happened in your life. What makes a difference is that you learn to take the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus and insert it into your life. Thank you, Rebecca. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Rebecca.
In Jesus' mighty name. Father, bless. Bless every person to this word. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to reach every person for you. Help us. Help every one of these people to reach out to us. You put the word into me. It's for them. Help us reach them. And help there be no condemnation, but the joy of the Lord, because their life is free from sin. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. And amen. And amen.
Amen.
Don't you just love God's word?
Amen.
I love that as we begin to do the word of God and his things, God just fills us with his revelation. If we'll just continue to chase after his word. I'm speaking from my own experience. I look back at every point in my life where I was just focused to get it. And immediately there came severe financial pressure. because what was that going to cause me to do? I was going to have to go work, make money. And, of course, there's nothing you can do. You got to do it. What'd that do? Took all your time away. And that's an attack of our enemy. How do I win it, Pastor? Well, if that happens, number one, get some seed. Start sowing seed. But God's way is not a job. God's way is live by seed time and harvest. Number two, when that happens, you cut out every bit of distraction. And you take every minute of your day and you have some form of this word coming off your lips or getting in your eyes. And that's how you get through it. And Apostle Paul was beaten, stoned, betrayed, left for dead. All of it on his attempt to get after things of God. And somehow in the middle of all that, he got the revelation to write two-thirds. Well, he didn't, not somehow. By the Holy Spirit of God, as he wrote to these people, he literally penned the operation of the New Testament church in the middle of everything that happened to him. Most people, if you got stoned and left for dead, you'd just go to heaven. He got up and said, well, we might as well preach in the next city. You guys ready to go? Talk about offense. How'd you like to take that group of guys with you to the next city and say, let's preach the gospel when they just let you get stoned? Huh? Why, certainly, certainly I trust you. No, I don't. No, I don't. No, I don't. But anyways, here we go. It is now time to receive communion together. And then we'll be finished. Here's the wonderful part about communion that I love. Is every time we do this, we're saying once again, it's your blood. It's your broken body. It's your blood. It's your broken body. That's my life. Thank you, Father. It's my life. Thank you, Father. Ready? Get your communion elements. I got mine right here. Got some grape juice in the cup. Get you another big drink of coffee. Another little bit. I'm going to be out there in the prairie driving the semi, hauling water. Prairie dogs and the swallows and... It's night now.
The other truck drivers.
The other truck drivers. I don't see anybody though all night long. But it's night. I like night. You know why? You get to watch the beautiful, magnificent northern sky and all of its stars. It is just absolutely amazing. I get out of the truck because there's not lights everywhere. And you're like, wow. You can see the Milky Way just absolutely perfect. And the God that created that lives inside you and me.
Wow.
I can tell it's been too long since I sat here. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night which he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he took the cup, and he said, this cup, not this plastic cup, what's in it, is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work, his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and leading the church until he comes. Verse 28. Here's the process. Let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this. I love this verse. That we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Well, he just said over there in Corinthians that if we would judge ourselves, we wouldn't be judged. So if you get diligent about judging yourself, then you miss all this other judgment. And look what it says, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because I'm already judging myself. Why? As he is, so are we in this world, right here, right now, today. Perfect love. Cast out fear and the torment, the trauma that comes with it. Because there is no fear in love. In Jesus' mighty name. It's time to pray the prayer of salvation, the prayer of rededication, or the prayer of hallelujahification that says, I'm just shouting glory, I'm in the kingdom of God. In Jesus' mighty, awesome, wonderful, amazing name. So, this is how we do it. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. You say it. The people here will say it. We'll say it. And when we get finished with this prayer, if you mean it from the depths of your heart, you will be saved. Ready? Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
According to John 3:16,
when I believe in you,
you give me everlasting life,
and I will not perish.
And I thank you for that, Jesus.
Put your hands out and say, Jesus, I receive you into my life.
Jesus, I receive you into my life.
I believe you are the Son of God. I receive all of your grace and your mercy.
I receive all of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
With every part of you.
So that I have all the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life as a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. That's the first time you prayed that prayer? Think about what just happened to you. You just said, I received you into my life, all of your grace, mercy, love, and righteousness, all the fullness of God. Literally, the Apostle Paul, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, as he writing as a scribe, said that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. If you are filled with all the fullness of God, why would there be any sign of our enemy on you anywhere? That's that old religious indoctrination that says, well, you know, Pastor, you just can't have that. The Bible doesn't tell you to do that right there. Yeah, it does. That I might be filled. I can see people getting filled right now. Bang. With all the fullness of God. Now, Jesus, the light of the world, just came in you. Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, just came in you. Hey, Kathy Angaroni's with us.
Hi, Kathy.
Jesus, in all of who he is, just boom, filled you just like that. You might say, what do I do now? Wake up every morning and before you get out of bed, look up and say, Father, help me walk with you. Everybody say it. Father,
Father,
help me walk with you.
Help me with you.
That's how you do it. Pastor, it can't be that easy. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. You got to give yourself to it. Focus every minute of the day. Father, I'm walking with you. Just do it. Just talk to him like you would talk to your wife, your kids, your father, your mother. But see, he don't go to sleep. He's there 24/7, 365. It's pretty cool because in the middle of the night out there and everything's quiet and everything's just me, I jump out of the truck. I'm like, you're on this location with me right here too. Last night he gave me a revelation that some people get born again and they want to make a big deal of their sin. Make a big deal of your sin. Make a big deal of his righteousness.
Amen.
He said those who want to make a big deal of their sin are filled with pride. Humility just accepts the work of God and walks in it and says, it's Jesus, it ain't me. Woo! You might say, Pastor, I don't know how to do this. Well, I do. And I got 900 videos to prove it. And we want to get you connected to all of us. So in Jesus' mighty name, please send me an email. I'm not going to be like any other preacher you know. Just think. I'm just me. And I'm going to lead you to the paths of righteousness. I'm going to short circuit that 38-year study and attack. And we're going to go into your life and get you free now. Took me 38 years to get it, but bless God in heaven, I got it. And that power of that religious demon spirit is broken in my life and will never be back again another day to destroy. Can somebody shout amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Now, wait, you guys did not shout amen. You just kind of mealy-mouthed this. Shout amen.
There were people here that are asleep.
Oh.
Exactly. That's what I was getting ready to say.
So
same thing
her.
Here. Some people are asleep.
All right. You have to do it like this, Phyllis. I forget what time it is. I get into glory and I'm like, everybody's awake around the world somewhere.
It's midnight in Michigan. 11:26 here in Michigan.
Don't you just love that
get
together and study?
Here.
All right. Enough of that. You ready? Let's receive our communion elements together because I got a whole bunch of just keep going inside of me today, but I got to go to work. So you ready? Hold your elements up. You can go on any of our live broadcasts and find our website and my email address, and I will help you walk with God. Some of the guys I'm working with, you found this podcast. That's what you called it. You can send me an email. I'll never judge you a day of your life. Because I don't care what anything has ever happened to you. The only thing I care about is that you see righteousness. Because that's all that matters. Ready? Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, for my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is upon you. And by your stripes I am healed. Right here, right now, today.
Right here, right now.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying. In my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community. And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus'
Amen. Amen. Let's receive his body
broken.
Broken
body.
Thank you, Father, that Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down, and he called it all joy. Mm-hmm. Now we lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Pray this with me, by the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation. With you, my Father. By the blood of Jesus. Every sin has been placed in remission. In my life forever. And there is no condemnation. By the blood of Jesus. I am a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new.
And
I thank you for it.
By
the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find grace, mercy, and help. For my assignment every day. By the blood of Jesus. And the word of my testimony. I overcome. By the blood of Jesus. The accuser of the brethren is cast down forever. And there's no more condemnation in my life. By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass over. And cannot be on me or my family. My conscience is purged.
My conscience is heard.
Right here, right now, today.
Right here.
My robes are made white. And I will always be. The glorious church. Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's receive his bloodshed. And let's sing one of our favorite songs. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow. Thank you for your blood, dear Jesus. Thank you for your blood, dear Jesus. Thank you for your blood, dear Jesus. It washes white as snow. Oh, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, it washes my as snow. There you go. There you have it. A full night. Plus a little. We got two more days caught up. Somebody shout hallelujah.
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 You might want to shout, I'm glad I live on this side of the cross. Aren't you glad you live on this side? For such a time as this, we have come into this kingdom. Jesus' mighty name. Sister Phyllis, read us our closing doxology.
Oh, let's see. Now I have to find it on account of I'm never prepared for this to be over with. I'm enjoying it so much.
Well, I know.
But... All right. I do love the Word of God. Jude 20 through 25. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, in glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And I'm going to add a couple verses from Revelation.
That's good.
Here. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
And everybody say it. I am a king and I am a priest.
I am a king and I am a priest.
Unto my God.
Unto my God.
Ready? Hold your hands out and say it. I receive.
I receive.
The hundredfold return.
The hundredfold return.
That you promised for all of us. Who give our life to preach the gospel. I receive every bit of my hundredfold return. And put it into work in the kingdom right now. On this side of eternity. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I want to sit here and talk forever, but I can't. I got to get rolling, but this is what we do say. Remember this. Tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern. No. Is that right? Yeah. Sister Leanne will be here with morning prayer. Make sure you're here with her. It's a powerful time of prayer. Read the proverb. I really like the fact that you're reading the proverb and speaking those words of wisdom. We've been playing Brother Dutch Sheets, getting our faith in agreement with his organization, what he's doing, speaking the word of God that God's given us to speak. It's a great time of prayer, a great way to start your day. We encourage you
Pastor
to be
Sam,
here with us. In Jesus,
my daughter has an appointment for me to see my doctor tomorrow morning. I have to tell him how good I feel. All right, it's just a checkup, but I can't pass up this appointment.
Okay. Father, in Jesus' name, we bless Phyllis. May the doctor look at her and say, what's going on with you? Because she's so healthy.
Amen.
Thank you. I accept that. Thank you. We are in agreement.
And it only takes two or three. There's a whole mess of us in agreement.
At least three of us here. I call you blessed, Ellis.
Amen.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Sister Sunday, welcome. Sister Angel, Sister Kathy, and all the rest of the brothers and sisters on YouTube that I don't know who you are, but we're glad to have you with us. Thank you for being there. Thanks for always being a part of what we do. You guys are the driving force that makes this thing work. And we bless you in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Till we see you again, this is what we say. Remember this. We love you. And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. It's the very last verse of the Bible. It's the last thing God said. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Blog Talk Radio, see you soon. Thank you for being here. Please communicate. We'd love to see a picture of you. Put it up on the wall. Everybody send us a picture. We can have a partner wall. We'll put it right there behind Sister Leanne's head. Put it right there underneath Dr. Barclay and all of our mentors, Jets. Hallelujah. And we'll do the work that God's given us to do in Jesus' mighty name.
Have a good night.